Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much again for being here tonight. And it's a joy just to be in church and glad that each of you are here. And thankful that my wife is here. It took me about halfway through my prayer time to realize where she was. She's downstairs. We have a teenager. I forget that. And I kept looking over at Maddie. And I thought, where's mom at? And I thought maybe she'd split up our home and ran off or something, and figured I was going to leave you all and go chase her. Like one fella said, if she ever left me, I'm going with her. I'm going to find out where she is, and she's going to have to hide real good. So, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad she's downstairs, and glad she's not here to hear me blabbing on, because then she'd say, John, please shut up. So, well, I want to preach tonight, teach tonight. Hopefully you got a handout in your bulletin as you came in about steadfastness. And there's one thing that I believe that people need, and today we seem to be so flippant about things. We seem to be hot and then cold, on then off. And I'm not one, you know, I'm not to necessarily slam folks for not coming because I know there's a lot going on in life. I know with COVID right now, there's a lot of people who would rather be here, but they're out of safety. They're just staying home, and I appreciate all of that. And so I'm not specifically talking about whether somebody's here this evening or not. I'm talking about a broader approach than that or a broader view than that. Because the Bible says we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. That's not the text I'm going through, but I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 or something. But the Bible says we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's right after that passage about those loved ones accepting that incorruptible as they go, and death might be swallowed up in victory, and we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe it is on your sheet, 1 Corinthians 15. And so as we see that, I realize that one thing that we're missing in our lives is this idea of steadfast. You, like me, have gone to places of business and you thought for sure you were going to have a great meal, or you thought for sure you're going to have some good service, and then you get there, they're closed up. And COVID did that to a lot of businesses, and people just had to make tough decisions. Again, that's not a slam on them. But boy, you came wanting something specific. It happened to us just not real long ago. I remember what restaurant it was. We thought, oh, we're going to go there. And we got there, and sure enough, it was closed up. And what a disappointment that is. And I tell you something that's more disappointing than that. It's when, and I start off with a few folks that were really instrumental in my life. I thank God for my pastor who's continuing on even when health doesn't support his ability or his desire. He just keeps on anyways. So I thank God for people like that. But there's other folks that have started off, and when I was starting in the ministry, they were such an encouragement to me. And now I can't call them for advice because either they've taken such a left turn in their ministry strategy or else they're not in it at all. They haven't been steadfast. And I wonder how that is as well when our children, mine are two of them in college and Allie, a 10th grader. I can't imagine the disappointment that it's going to be if Amy and I didn't try to remain steadfast. Because they never quit looking at you, right? And, you know, we've got a responsibility to our children. We always think about when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 that, well, we got to do what's right. But I think maybe it's more important when they're 26 and 36 and 46 that you keep on doing what's right. I've seen so many families that parents raised their kids in church and they raised their teenage kids in church. And then after they got out of the house, it seems like mom and dad lost the duty. And now they're run around and aren't faithful to church. And all the things, I won't tell you all the reasons why I'm here tonight. It's just in this message or lesson. But I believe we need a good old-fashioned dose of steadfast. Now you say, we're here on Wednesday night. We are steadfast. And I get that. But I believe all of us could use it. So we already looked at 1 Corinthians. I want you to look at Acts chapter 20, verse number 22, if you will. We're looking at Acts 20. Paul bids a farewell to those leaders at Ephesus. And he says, I don't know what I'm going to get into, but I certainly want you to know that I didn't let anything get me off track. Acts 20, verse 22, the Bible says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. save or accept that. The Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. How would you like that? We all want to go on vacation where something's going to be a nice, relaxing place. We're going to have a lot of fun. Paul says, I know what's waiting for me. One old preacher said like this, Paul didn't check on TripAdvisor or do with his travel agent about the hotels to be in the area. He just checked out the jails because undoubtedly he was going to end up there before he left the city. And he says, that's what awaits me, or that's what abide me. That just means awaits me. Verse number 24, but none of these things move me, and folks use this as a life verse sometimes and a verse of motivation. Neither count I my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course. He was in our church. He called to preach back in West Virginia. He went to Crown and met his wife, or future wife, and her name was Joy. And he said, so I'm adopting this as my life verse. I'm going to finish my course with joy. And he said that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to teach for just a little while. It'll be one that we bounce around different passage to passage, just a topical study about this thing of remaining steadfast. And I'm going to look at a couple of the reasons that we get off track, if we do, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will combat us getting off track. Father, bless us now is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, that people can move you. As I mentioned, folks, that you start off with, it's hard to stay the course when nobody else does. This one little fellow that he didn't have everything right about his mental faculties, but Curtis Hudson used to tell the story of these kids, and they would ride this old wagon down the hill, and they'd pull it up, had a rope, and they'd pull it back up, and then they'd three or four of them, they'd ride it back down, big old wagon. And he said, but one time, the wagon was going toward this big old multi-floor rose bush. This one boy who wasn't all there, he wasn't quite right, he didn't take the hint to bail off. He saw the bush coming, everybody else, boom, 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 jumping off like it was a hot potato or something, and he just hung on. And he said, Curtis, he said, you sure find out who rides the wagon when you hit the briar patch. Now, there's a lot of people just getting off. Faithfulness is not important to them anymore. Diligence is not important. They're not steadfast. And again, this is not my intent to bash everybody who's not here, bash everybody who doesn't go to our church, bash everybody who doesn't see it like we see it. That's not my intent. I'm just trying to equip us tonight and make us realize that the devil, there's a real live rootin' tootin' devil, and he wants all of us to get off track. He'd like all of us to stop. He'd like all of us to, well, just put it neutral, just coast on. There's people that will move you. Look in 2 Peter, if you would, back toward the back of the Old Testament, right after 1 Peter, if you find the first one. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17, talks about this. We want to look there at some people can get us. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And now this topical study that we'll do, there are people that will move us intentionally. There's people that will, they don't mean to, but they just do by their lifestyle. They get us off track, because here's what we do. Here's why the worldly phrase, I guess, the deck is stacked against us. You've already got a flesh that doesn't want to do right. When you got saved, you didn't get rid of that. You've got a devil that's working hard against you. He can't steal your soul if you're saved, but he's working hard to make you miserable, to get you mediocre in your Christian life. And then you've got a world out there, our old threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've got a world out there that would like for you to be a nominal Christian at best. Well, they don't mind you talking about God. Did you ever notice this? Even when you see it on TV and you're talking, or you hear people talk about their spiritual walk, or their I'm a religious person, or I'm a person of faith, how some of those phrases are always allowed, but I always see when it squelches down, when they say, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then it gets a little bit tighter in the room. They don't mind you say, I'm on a spiritual walk, I'm on a faith journey, I'm a spiritual person, I'm this. All those phrases, little buzzwords they have now, but you say, you know what I am? I'm an old-fashioned follower of Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. And then everybody's, ooh. They kind of clam up. And so we see, though, that those are our enemies of trying to live for Jesus Christ, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we see that in this verse that we are able to fail from our own steadfastness. There's two kinds of people who affect us negatively. I want you to think about a couple. Number one, the carnal people. There's some folks, some of them are Christians, but they're just worldly Christians. They do not see the need to live a separated Christian life. They don't see the need to honor God in their being. They just live whatever, however it feels good, do it. As the old saying goes, there's carnal people, there's worldly people. They desire to pull us away from the Lord, and they pull us always toward the sin. But we see not only carnal people, worldly people, but then there's the other side. There's Pharisaical people, Pharisees. You know, we could take you to several places in the Gospels where Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. Jesus didn't have trouble. Jesus didn't have trouble with anybody, but Jesus didn't have run-ins necessarily with the people who were of the world seeking him. He had trouble with the ones that thought they were above everybody else, the Pharisees, the uppity-up people. And so there are some Pharisaical people that will tell you you're not good enough. They'll tell you you're not spiritual enough. They'll pull you toward discouragement. So you got one side that doesn't want to seek God at all, and they don't want you to. You got the other side that they're so proud of their spiritual walk that they've since surpassed where even God wants them to be at, and they act like you're not worthy of where they are. Either one's bad. People will get us off track. And you say, which one's worse? I don't even know. Really, I don't know which one's worse. I don't. You could get tangled up in either one of them. Have a bunch of worldly friends that keep you out of church and keep you doing worldly activities and carnality, or you got this other group of people who it's us four and no more, and they act like they're so good and nobody else can attain to where they are, and you're so holier than thou. I wouldn't give you a nickel for either one. But I'm saying that people can move us and cause us not to, in that sweet spot, just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the sweetest Christian in this church? I don't know who it is, but the sweetest Christian in this church is the one that hasn't figured out that they're anything, but they're thankful that God saved them, and they're just glad to see everybody walk through that door. They don't have a comment about what that person's been doing. They don't have a concern about what's been happening with them. If they do know something about them that they've been involved in life, they're trusting that today they'll get right with the Lord. That's the sweetest Christian in this church. Hasn't figured out that he or she has arrived yet. And so we see that people can move us, and the carnal people, the Pharisaical people. But not only people can move us, but we see that problems can move us. Now, we already looked back in Acts chapter 20, verse number 22, but we see that not only that people can move us, but we saw there in Acts that problems can move us. I'll turn back there real quick, but we already read it. The apostle said, I don't know what's going to be waiting for me. I don't know what I'm going to face when I get there. I don't know what I'm going to face on the way. You read the Apostle Paul's journeys, and you see it's just one problem headed off by another problem, which was just followed by another problem. And there's issues. If you can't find an issue that gets you discouraged, then you simply do not have your eyes open. If it's not COVID, it's a sickness. If it's not sickness, it's financial problems. If it's not financial problems, it's housing problems. If it's not housing problems, then your mother-in-law moved too close to you. If it's not that, it's some other issue the devil has put forth to you. It's something. I'm telling you that problems can and they will move you. Jesus, if he counted people as problems, which he didn't because he came to save people, even those that are putting him on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. If he counted people as problems, there were so many that he would have never gotten anywhere. He said, well, Jesus got it where he wanted to because he's Son of God. And true, he did, but he was also an example in that. But if he'd have counted the people as problems, then he would have had too many to count. And so we see that problems are all around us. I'm reading again in verse number 22 of Acts 20. He says, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You remember the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked. You remember that they first they thought he was the reason the shipwreck. Then they realized when the snake didn't kill him, he must be some kind of God. And they put him down, then they lifted him up. And there's problems everywhere. Has anybody had a problem-free week this week? I don't want to put my hand up. That was just for illustration. You know, for example, one of you all bravely put your hand up. Nobody has. We've got problems left and right. And those same problems, though, if we allow the devil to magnify those in our lives, they'll get us off track. Do you understand it's possible for any of us not to be in church in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, whatever? There's better people than me that aren't standing in the pulpit right now. And I'm not saying that falsely humble. I've heard great preachers thunder out the Word of God, but they can't preach tonight because they've done something in their life that's disqualified them for the ministry. And I don't say that to put them down. I wouldn't call their name anyways. I'm saying that to tell you that problems come. And it takes a real spiritual preacher. If he does, some people say fall into sin, jump into sin, wade into sin, whatever he gets into. If he does have some issue, it takes a real spiritual man of God to keep serving when he can't do his first calling. And I've seen it happen many times. People get messed up in sin and then they get thoroughly right with God and they say, well, I can't do that, but I'm going to go find some yard at a church that needs to be mowed. I'm going to go help the mission agency. I'm going to go do this. And my hat goes off to him. My heart goes out to him, first of all, because of the problem he created and it got him to that position. But then my hat goes off to him and say, praise the Lord, you're still wanting to serve God. Listen, folks, we've got too many folks in this world, in this Christian world, that when you do something one time, they're done with you. I'm just saying that problems can move you and they can move me. Don't let the people move you, number one. Don't let the problems move you. Job chapter 11, you know, I don't even have to go back there, but you can look at multiple places in Job, problem after problem after problem after problem, yet he still didn't want to charge God foolishly. You had all those things going against you and your wife telling you, want to just curse God and die, all those things. I'm telling you, problems happen, and they're happening to you. And I'm applauding everyone tonight. Say, thank you for being here. Those that are watching us online, thank God that you're taking time out on a Wednesday night just to say, I'm going to get alone with the Lord. I'm going to gather around the church house because we haven't let the problems derail us. But I'm saying, we ain't home yet. Been lots of people who thought they were doing so good, and maybe that's, we get to the third one, and this is why they got off track. Number three, don't let pride move you. Don't let pride move us. I already told you about those people that can move you, the carnal people, but then the Pharisee people. And again, I don't know which one's worse. Both of them are bad. But pride gets us puffed up. We were already in Acts chapter 20, verse number 22. Let me read a little further, verses 23 and 24. The Bible says this, I don't know what will befall me there, he says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, as we read, but none of these things move me, neither account myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Verse 25, and now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He was a brokenhearted individual. I think about what he says, though, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I've heard so many folks that say phrases like this, I deserve better. What have I ever done? Why is all this happening to me? You know, I preached different times on it. The old thing, why do bad things happen to good people? I've heard that phrase in its many different counterparts so many times, as have you. Don't they realize what they have in me? Doesn't my employer realize what they have in me? I'm more to this company than they recognize. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that you should be mistreated, but your family's probably not going to think, always going to realize what they have in you. Your employer may not realize how valuable you are. But my job is not to necessarily impress them with that. My job is just to be who I'm supposed to be. Do you know what takes a whole lot of Christianity to pull off? When you do what's right when nobody notices. Somebody says character is doing right in the dark. Character is doing right when nobody notices or nobody watches, because we know that the Lord watches. But I'm saying to us this evening that pride can get us off track. We can take it all the way, obviously, back from the Garden of Eden, and we saw that Adam and Eve want to have more than what God had currently given them. So pride puffs them up. We know before that the sin of Satan as he fell was cast out of heaven because of pride. He lifted himself up. We see that pride can get us. The moment that you start thinking, you know, I really am somebody down at that church. Or the moment that I start thinking, you know, I really am somebody. I pastor this church. We ought to fall on our knees and say, Father, forgive me. Pride has never done anything good for us. We've taken that word pride and we've used it on all of our ball teams and our schools, and we've said we've got warrior pride or we've got falcon pride or whatever your mascot is. And I suppose there's nothing wrong with any of that, but we've taken that so much and we've said we're going to take pride in our work. And if you mean that you're going to purposely do a good job because your name's attached to it, then yes, maybe we've got a semantics issue there. But if you're talking about pride, that I've done something really worth applauding here, my friend, we ought to run from that like the plague. We can't have the mentality that we have arrived. The Apostle Paul didn't. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. I don't deserve what I've gotten. He said, if you want to look at Romans chapter 12, he said really what he thought of himself. Romans chapter 12, after that famous, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Verse number 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That just means very, with a lot of thoughtfulness. Think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You remember what he said in another passage. He says about sinners, of whom I'm chief. So the Scripture tells us not to think too highly of ourselves. It's this modern world that we live in that has looked at you and looked at me and said, you are somebody. And for us to get down on ourselves and say, oh man, I'm not good, that is discounting the grace of God. But for us to look at it and say, man, God got a good deal when he got me. My friend, you didn't bring anything to the table. It's all God, not you. I've told you before, but it's like that little rooster that rode the back of the elephant across that swinging bridge. And we got to the other side, the rooster told the elephant, said, did you feel that thing shake when we came across? Well, it was very little rooster and most elephant. So if anything gets done in our lives, it's because God does it. First of all, he gives us the body, the mind, the wherewithal to do whatever we do. You say, I got a great mind for business. Not above what God gave you. So we understand that the Scripture tells us not to think too highly of ourselves. I'll give it to you one more time. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he goes on to say in that other passage, of all the sinners of whom I am chief. Now you got to be careful. As I said, people that say, well, I need to build self-esteem. I used to pray that for our kids, that they would have self-confidence. But then I prayed or changed my prayer sometimes and said, no, I don't want them to have self-confidence. I want them to have God confidence. And so I really did. I feel like sometimes kids, all of their confidence leaks out their ears when they lay down in bed at night, because sometimes they just can't believe that they can do anything the next day. And you need to pray that into them. But again, I learned that I don't want to pray self-confidence on them. I want to pray that God confidence, that they would know that when I'm weak, then am I strong because he works in me. And may we all not just say it, pray it for our kids, but may I do it as well. Don't go out of here thinking, well, I guess we're a bunch of nobodies. Well, we are, but a bunch of nobodies that the one and only Christ loves so much that he will empower us to do whatever he wants us to do. Don't let pride move you. So I said already that we are needing steadfast Christians. And three areas that will move you from, get you off track I want to be right here in the next, and 1 year from now, and 2 years, as long as God gives me life. But I want you to be here as well. And I want more of us to come and join us. I want our church to grow. I want our pastoral staff to grow. I want to be more of us at every level. But what will move us, move me, if I'm not careful, people I hang around with, people I look up to, problems, and pride. I'm a good preacher. That's a 3-point sermon, and they're all illiterate. They're alliterated. People, problems, and pride. But think back for a moment, not in a condescending way, but think back for a moment. Can't you think of 2 or 3 people just real quick that they're not as steadfast as they ought to be? And you may not know the whole story, but I bet if we could go investigate, people got them off track. Problems, I don't think I should have to deal with these problems. Or pride, they got puffed up. And I want us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, bless us now. I pray that maybe, Lord, this turned a little more into a devotional than a Bible study. And for that, if it wasn't my intent, so Lord, I'm trusting you that you had your will. But I pray for the people in front of me and those that are watching live stream. And Lord, some that maybe go back later and watch it after because they're with the kids tonight. But Lord, I pray for my friends that we would not let these 3 areas get us off track, but instead we'd be steadfast, unmovable. Lord, I want to be serving you when you come and get me. When the trumpet sounds, I want to be turning from the work and being received in the air. Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to be steadfast. Help us, I pray. Now, folks, we're going to do it just a little different. They're going to play here in just a moment. And in just a moment, if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved. Oh, I would love to meet you right down here at the front. And I'll have my Bible, and I'll just take it and show you how you be sure you're saved. But I know most of you tonight, and I know that you've already got that taken care of. But maybe you fooled me. I'm not assuming. But I'll be here. I'll wait. But what I'm going to do is when they play, I'm going to just ask you all to remain seated and just pray a prayer for yourself and for your family. Lord, help us stay steadfast. This is not conceited. This is not asking things you ought to be, because the Bible commands us to be steadfast, so it's certainly right for us to pray to be such. I want you to pray that you're going to let your grandkids see you be faithful all the way to glory. I want you to pray that you're going to let your kids see you be faithful from here till God takes you home. I want you to pray that God will let you be faithful to your spouse and faithful to in front of him or her, steadfast. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for what you do, and we'll be glad that you've done it. As you just remain seated, I'm going to have them play. And you just have a little prayer time right there that God would keep you steadfast. Go ahead and play, ladies. As they pray, folks, if you're here, you're not sure you're saved, there's no trouble to get out. Our aisles, our pews are not packed. You simply just slip out of your pew and come right down here. I'm watching. I'm right here. If you're not sure you're saved, would you come? Let me take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. But if you're saved in here tonight, I'm asking you to pray for yourself, pray for your family. Lord, keep me from being proud. Lord, keep me from letting people and problems get me off track. Make me steadfast. Thank you. thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to see you in church. Thank you for being here with us. And I hope that this hour that we've spent together has given you what you need to continue on. You know, I used to hear all the time, I don't as much anymore, that, wow, Wednesday nights like that, recharging of batteries to go on through the rest of the week. And now through, we have so many avenues with internet, and we can download sermons, and we can listen to them, we can podcast and all that. But still, there's just something special about coming to church. And thank you for being here. It's 7:59. I hope that you'll fellowship with a couple people before you leave and let them know that you're glad to see them. God bless you. You're dismissed.